ABC Radio Australia.
Election officials in Bougainville will start counting ballots today for the region's general elections after 3 weeks of polling. Bougainvillians have cast their vote on who they want as their constituency member, veterans representatives, female rep, and most importantly, their new president. All eyes are on which of the 25 competing candidates will replace President John Momus, who has served the maximum three terms in office. But even more important, these elections come on the back of last year's historic referendum, where 98% of Bougainvillians voted for independence from Papua New Guinea. The results of that referendum is non-binding, so it will be up to the Bougainville's new government to negotiate with Port Moresby the terms of independence. Dr. Volker Boge is the Peace and Conflict Studies Institute Australia and is a member of the Bougainville Transition Dialogues. Now, that's a community project working with churches, communities and the government to keep citizens informed about the political changes taking place in Bougainville. He joins me now from Brisbane. Good morning, Dr. Volker.
Good morning, Marla.
Now, counting for Bougainville's elections start today after 3 weeks of polling. Why has it taken so long for voters to cast their ballots, and was voting a relatively smooth process?
Yeah, Marla, as you know, Bougainville is a relatively rough terrain with many remote villages, so it takes a while to have voting conducted all over the region. And as far as I know, polling ran really relatively smoothly. So the Bougainville Electoral Commissioner, George Manu, came out saying there were no major problems. So that's good. Some people were complaining that their names were not on the common roll, so that they could not vote. These things happen, but altogether, I think the voting went fine so far.
Now, voters will get to choose Bougainville's new president to replace John Momus, who is generally seen as one of the founding fathers of not only Bougainville, but also PNG. These are certainly big shoes to fill. Are there any favourites?
Indeed, John Momus was one of the founding fathers of PNG and Bougainville, and he tried to run again this time, but it was not possible because of the Bougainville constitution. So he was not able to run. And now we have, as you said, 25 candidates. There are some outstanding politicians among them. First of all, maybe to mention James Tarnis, who had been president before John Momus and who has been involved in the peace process from the very beginning in various positions. So I think he is one of the strong contenders. And then you have some politicians who served in the PNG parliament, like Fidelis Somoso or John Lera. And then there's this whole group of leaders of the former secessionist movement during the war, the Bougainville Revolutionary Army, like Sam Kaona, Ishmael Turama, Martin Miriori, Andrew Miriki. So 25 people, so it will be very difficult to tell. Interestingly enough, there are also two women running, Ruby Mirinka and Magdalene Turansi. Ruby Mirinka is a very popular figure in Bougainville. She was the director of the Bougainville Healthy Communities Program, a big health program covering all of Bougainville. And she was also a member of the Bougainville Referendum Commission, which was in charge of organizing the referendum of last year. So two women among the 25.
So 25 names there. But we know that the government formed after this election will be responsible for negotiating Bougainville's independence. In your mind, just how difficult and tough will that job be? And what are the challenges that they face?
Yeah, these will be the most important elections in the history of Bougainville, exactly because of the challenges of negotiating the implementation of the referendum result. 98% in favor of independence, of course, gives the Bougainville side a big support in these negotiations. But as you said before, the referendum is non-binding, so they have to talk to the PNG central government. And they are of the opinion that these talks should come to, at least in principle, results before the next PNG elections in 2022. So this is a relatively short time period. They have worked hard at the technical level to prepare for these consultations and negotiations, but nothing could happen at the political level because of the lack of a leadership that was legitimate to negotiate. We had to wait for the results of these elections. So time is short, and you will have to see how strong and how legitimate the leadership is going to be and that will come out of these elections. Everybody in Bougainville says we have to keep the peace, we have to stay united in order to have a strong voice in the negotiations. But you never know what's going to happen after the elections. But I'm very confident that the new leadership is well prepared, will be well prepared to negotiate with the PNG side.
Now, Bougainville is well known for its rich mineral resources. How important is mining to the future of this region that is trying to become independent and develop its own economy?
Oh, that's a very good and important question, because as you know, the Panguna gold and copper mine was at the core of the war of the 1990s, and this mine has been non-operational ever since. And over the last years, there has been a lot of debate about the future of the Panguna mine. Many in favor of reopening the mine, arguing that Bougainville, in particular an independent Bougainville, will need the revenues from the mine for maintaining its financial and economic independence. This was the line of the argument of MOMIS and the former ABG, the Autonomous Bougainville Government. But then there are also many who say, no, we want to reopen the mine because of all the hardship that is associated with it and because of the environmental destruction and all the social and cultural problems it caused. So it's a highly contested issue, and the new government will have to engage with this problem of reopening the mine, yes or no, and under what conditions. And then there's the issue of mining in general, because, as you said, Bougainville is a very mineral-rich region. There are those who say we have to focus on mining, but there are others who say there are alternatives like agriculture, fisheries, tourism. So that will be very interesting to watch. And not to forget that there is this environmental legacy of the Panguna mine, and people and politicians in Bougainville say here it's Rio Tinto, which also has an obligation because Rio Tinto was the majority shareholder of the company that ran the Panguna mine. And Rio Tinto today says we have no obligations whatsoever with regard to cleaning up the environmental destruction we left behind. But this does not go down well with the people and politics in Bougainville. So very interesting topics here.
And, you know, whoever takes the mantle of presidency in Bougainville and whoever the government is, do you think, in your mind, as somebody who's working in this space for a really long time, do you think they have what it takes to see Bougainville push, you know, now for more independence and for more?
Yeah, one will have to see who will become president. As I said, there are a few very experienced politicians there who I think will be well prepared. There are others who are more newcomers, but they can rely on the staff who were very active in preparing these negotiations at the technical level. It does not only depend on the Bougainville side, but also on the PNG side. So the openness of the PNG side for these negotiations and to really accept what the Bougainvillians in the referendum have said loud and clearly, namely, we want independence, 98%. And the international observers and everybody said, This referendum was very well organized. It was free and fair and peaceful. So I think the central government of PNG cannot avoid accepting these 98%, and this gives the Bougainville side a good starting position for the negotiations. But you never know.
Dr. Folker, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Marla.
That was Dr. Folker Boge from the Peace and Conflict Studies Institute Australia, and he is a member of the Bougainville Transition Dialogues.